Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, and welcome to Insights for Eternity. This is John Edmiston, and we are slowly but surely going through the Gospel of Luke, and in the last few broadcasts, we have been looking at the whole topic of the end times, and we've been looking at a few dimensions of the end times, the end of Jerusalem, and the end of the world, and the end of the church age. And today we're going to be looking at some very controversial topics, such as the age of the Gentiles. Before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is interesting and relevant. Please open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears, that we may behold wonderful things out of your Bible. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're in Luke 21 and we are jumping all over the place time-wise, and we'll have to sort out this puzzling passage. Luke chapter 21 verses 20 to 24. And go and grab your Bibles, pens and notebooks, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. Luke chapter 21, verses 20 to 24. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. When's that? We're about to find out. Okay, so we find out in verse 20, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, when did that happen? It happened from AD 66 to AD 70 under the armies of the general Titus, who surrounded Jerusalem because of a tax revolt and eventually destroyed the city and burnt the temple to the ground and scattered the Jewish people throughout the earth. And finally, in 110 AD, not a single Jewish person was allowed in Jerusalem or in the land of Israel. They were scattered among all nations, as this prophecy of Jesus said. So, and eventually they will be scattered, and they are still scattered among all nations, and Jerusalem is still trampled underfoot by the Gentiles. It is not a fully Jewish city yet, and the Temple Mount is still under Gentile control. It's under control of the government of Jordan and of the Palestinian Authority and the WAF, or whatever it is, the religious police that control the Temple Mount. And so we find that Jerusalem is not fully under Jewish control, and still people want East Jerusalem to become a Palestinian state, and so on and so forth. And they say this bit of Jerusalem will be belonging to the Palestinians, and this bit will be belonging to Israel. And the war in Gaza is coming into this. It's coming into who's going to control Jerusalem. Is there going to be a two-state solution or a one-state solution or ethnic cleansing or all the terrible solutions that we hear about in the news today? So we are close to the end of the age of the Gentiles, and we'll talk more about that later on. So Jesus is talking to the apostles and to his disciples about what's going to happen in their lifetime. So he's not here talking so much at first about what's going to happen at the end of the age. He starts off by talking about Jerusalem. Now, when it comes to end times things, that which happens to Jerusalem is the microcosm, and that which happens to the world is the macrocosm. The destruction of Jerusalem is going to be reflected in the end times by the destruction of Babylon, the destruction of the world system. Just as the world system destroyed Jerusalem, God will destroy the world system. He will cast Babylon into the sea like a heavy stone, and the judgments of God will come upon this earth. And so this time that's coming on Jerusalem in Jesus' day is a day of vengeance. Well, what's it a day of vengeance for? It's a day of vengeance for resisting the will of God. And we find this in Matthew chapter 23, verses 32 to 36. Matthew 23, verses 32 to 36. Philip then, he's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests. Fill up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How are you to escape from being sentenced to hell? Therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Barakiah, who you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. So here he is, he's in Matthew 23, he's talking to the Pharisees, he's condemning the Pharisees for wicked thing after wicked thing, he's upping the ante, he's getting angrier and angrier, and he's telling these hard-hearted people about the judgment of God. And the judgment would come on this generation, it would come in the time of Jesus. It came in AD 70, 40 years later. It came at the end of that generation, after they'd killed John the Baptist, after they'd killed and crucified Jesus, after they'd persecuted the early church, beheaded James, thrown Peter in prison, and tried to kill Paul, and put Paul in prison, and every other thing. Every time the gospel came to these Jewish leaders, they frothed at the mouth, they hated it, they stoned Stephen, and all the blood of the righteous was shed in Jerusalem, for a prophet cannot have his blood shed outside of Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is the city of old where the prophets were killed. And in Revelation it says, the city where our Lord was crucified, that is prophetically called Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the terrible view of it that John the Apostle had, who wrote the book of Revelation. So Jerusalem was a city that always rebelled against God. And to this day, if you're a Jew that believes in Jesus, if you're a Messianic Jew, you are hated in Israel. Christians, evangelical Christians, and those who share the gospel are hated in Israel. Jerusalem has been opposed to the gospel and opposed to God since time immemorial. There was a brief time under the leadership of David and the early years of Solomon when it was in service to God. After that, it became a city full of idols, a city full of resistance to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And so he's talking to these Pharisees, he's talking to these hard-hearted people and saying, all the blood of all the prophets is coming on you. This is the day of vengeance. The day of the destruction of the city of Jerusalem in AD 70 was God's vengeance on Jerusalem, on Israel, for rejecting the witness of God, for rejecting the prophets, for rejecting the law of Moses, for rejecting everything that was true, and setting up a religion that was merely a power game for the rich, a power game for certain people, certain families, like the family of Ananias and Caiaphas, that had turned religion into something quite evil and quite toxic. And so the temple was occupied by people buying and selling doves and by crooked people, and it had become a social structure captured by evil, which had nothing to do with the gospel. And anyone who had a prophetic voice, anyone who told them to repent, anyone who told them to to free their Jewish slaves, to treat the widow and orphan with respect, not to charge interest, not to have iniquitous financial practices. All these people, when who'd stand up to the temple and to the corruption there, they were killed, they were persecuted, they were thrown in prison. And it wasn't just prophets that were thrown in prison. It was apostles, it was wise men, and it was scribes. And so here it says that the blood of the righteous shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah the son of Berechiah. And therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, some who you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town. You see, the religious establishment, the hard-hearted religious establishment, was against the Spirit of God. It was against the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was against kindness, compassion, truth, and forgiveness, because the religious spirit is a spirit of control, a spirit of political power. I have this place in the church, and you have that place in the church, and I am superior to you. Well, pride has no place in the kingdom of God. And superiority has no place in the kingdom of God. For those who want to be greatest in the kingdom must be the servant of all. So ecclesiastical bullying, corrupt church practices, all the sort of things we hear about today with the perversion of sexuality in the church, sexual molestation of church members, the rape of women, the molesting of small boys, this appalls God. The ecclesiastical structures need to repent, just as the scribes, Pharisees, and high priests needed to repent, but they did not repent, and everything they trusted in was cast down, and their beautiful temple was burned to the ground, and to this day, 2,000 years later, it has not been rebuilt. So we find that the times of the Gentiles are rapidly approaching. There will be a day when that temple will be rebuilt. It says here, they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations. What has happened to the Jewish people? They fell by the edge of the sword in AD 70 and AD 110, after which they were scattered and led captive to all nations. Especially the Jews went out to the ancient city of Babylon, and then they went off to Europe, and they scattered throughout all kinds of Kazakhstan and those kind of areas before Islam wiped them out. There were great Jewish cities as far as China, and there were also Jewish areas around Europe. And the Jews spread all over the world, and they had their influence on the nations. And they were held captive, or they managed to set up their own areas, but pogroms and things happened to them, terrible persecution of the Jews through the nations, and they were called the wandering Jews. And that is coming to an end. They are no longer going to wander anymore. They have a homeland. They have a homeland now, and that is the nation of Israel. And they are being sent back in the fulfillment of many prophecies in the Old Testament, which said they would come back on the clouds. Well, they're coming back in aeroplanes. And they're coming back to the nation are like doves returning to the roost. And bit by bit, the Jews are coming out of the nations until the prophecy, the end times prophecy, the end times where the prophecy is that the Gentiles, the age of the Gentiles, will come to an end. Well, what's the age of the Gentiles? Paul is talking about the salvation of the Jews and the salvation of the Gentiles and Romans chapter 11. And in verse 25, he says this, "Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery. Brothers, a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." So God is waiting for the last Gentile to be saved. The gospel will go out unto all nations. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Matthew 25, verse 14. The gospel of this kingdom shall be preached unto all nations, and then the end will come. And as I am preaching to you on this radio station by shortwave, The gospel is coming up out to some parts of the earth that have barely heard it. And if you are listening to it, you are part of this prophecy. You're part of the age where the age of the Gentiles is coming in, where the last people on earth to hear the gospel are being saved. Why it has taken so long is a mystery. But God is finally doing his work. He is bringing in the people from Zambia. He is bringing people in from Cote d'Ivoire. He is bringing in people from Niger. He is bringing in people all over the continent of Africa and all over the world, from Papua New Guinea, a small island where I was a missionary for a while, where the tribes were just coming out of the jungle, just being discovered at the end of World War II. It's only had the gospel very recently, some places only since the 1980s. And of course, the last places in the Amazon jungle and the Andaman Islands, places that have never, ever heard the gospel before. There are some places that have heard the gospel and rejected it, like Iran. It was once a nation that was a very Christian nation. And then Islam came along and they embraced Islam instead of Christianity. But it had its time. It had its time of witness. It has rejected that time of witness. But now Iran is starting to hear the gospel again, and I am told there are now many Christian believers in Iran. The gospel is going all over the world, through radio, through television, through books, through the internet, through articles on the internet, through the mobile phone, through apps, and through WhatsApp. The gospel is being shared. Share the gospel. Be part of God's end-time movement. And you are among the people that have all the technology at your fingertips. And you can send someone on WhatsApp a gospel message. Hopefully they will listen to it. Hopefully they will believe John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. Now, if you are listening to this broadcast and you think, I have not yet been saved. I am waiting for a day to turn over my heart to God. Now is the time for you to turn your heart over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of repentance. So turn to God and say, Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for my sins. Please forgive my sins. Make me new. Make me a Christian. Set the Holy Spirit in my heart. And I will obey you forever. And let God change you. God will give you the strength to obey him. Turn away from your sin. Believe in Jesus. Believe in the God who created the heavens, the earth, and everything in them. And ask God for your salvation. Do not go into hell. And here talking about hell in Matthew 23, it says, You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Here the religious people, the respectable people, but they hated God, they hated Jesus, they hated truth, they wanted their religious system, their power, their pride more than anything else. And he says to him, you brood of vipers, in other words, you toxic people, these toxic religious people were going to be sentenced to hell. And God was going to throw them into eternal fire. It's Jesus saying here, don't end up in eternal fire. There's something you have to escape, and that is being sentenced to hell. The only way you can escape being sentenced to hell is by softening your hearts and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. Because God is a God of judgment. He is slow to judge. We find it took him centuries to judge Jerusalem. And he eventually made Jerusalem responsible for all the judgments, all the evil that had come in the centuries before, for all the slaughter of all the prophets, for the persecution of wise men, scribes, apostles, and of course the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Jesus is finishing up his journey here in the book of Luke, here he is in the last week of his life, and he's telling the people of Jerusalem, the judgment is coming. They have not listened to him up to this point. They've seen his miracles. They've seen lame people healed. They've seen deaf ears open. They've seen people raised from the dead. and they're still going on pursuing their own religious pride, their own pompous circumstances, their own spirit of control, and they're holding on to their own system that makes them feel important, and they're refusing God. And so he is bringing out the sledgehammer. He is warning them that they will be sentenced to hell. He is warning them of the consequences of resisting God. Do not resist God in your heart. The more you resist God, the harder your heart will become, until one day you cannot believe, and you're there and you're dying and you want to believe in Jesus because you know your life is coming to an end, but you can't do it because your heart is so hardened to God. While you are young, while your heart is still soft, while you have many years to serve the Lord, turn and believe in God. And you might be saying, but you are trapped in sexual immorality. You are doing this and doing that. You are in this addiction or this state of being where it seems to you impossible for you to believe in Jesus and change your lifestyle and go back to God. Well, God can take you out of any trap that devil's got you into. No matter how bad your life is, how messed up it is, how much sexual immorality or dishonesty or thievery or witchcraft you are in, God can take you out. God can help you. God can save you the way he saved the thief on the cross, the way he saved Zacchaeus the tax collector, the way he saved the woman at the well who had had five husbands. God can take you out of darkness and bring you to light. And you must turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not end up sentenced to hell. Do not end up sentenced to death. Do not be among those who God brings armies against, just as he's brought armies against Jerusalem and destroyed every stone and every part of that city so that nothing remained of the temple or the stones thereof. God's wrath is real, and God will run out of patience with this world. And he has every right to do so as we look around at wicked governments, corrupt churches, dishonest businesses, all the wickedness that comes upon this world, all the sexual immorality that has come upon this world, all the lies, all the deceit, all the trickery and scheming of mankind, all the cruelty, the bullying, the murders, the rapes, all the things that are going on in the world. And we look around and we say, how can this world get any worse? And it is reaching a point where God is going to bring an end to it all, and it will be an end to the age of the Gentiles. And this age of the Gentiles will come to an end, and then the end will come and the Jewish people will be saved, for all in Israel will be saved. And that is another lesson all on its own. But the time of vengeance is coming. The time where the age of the Gentiles is coming to an end is coming. God is preparing his heavenly armies. He is getting ready to invade the earth. He is getting ready to make sure the kings and princes of this world and the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ. The kingdom of God will take over this world, and the devil is in great distress because he knows his time is short. And there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. You see, there is a time of wrath. The time of wrath came against the Jewish people because of their disrespect and disregard of God. They thought they were doing God's will, but in fact they were doing the very opposite of it. And so the Roman armies came, surrounded that city and destroyed it. And there was a time of great distress and wrath against the people. But that is the microcosm. The macrocosm is when God's wrath comes against the whole earth, and his armies, his heavenly armies, surround this planet. The angels surround this planet. And the devil and his demons are cast out of the second heaven and cast out of the first heaven. They were cast out of the third heaven a long time ago, from the third heaven to the second heaven, from the second heaven to being the prince of the power of the air, finally cast out of the air and down into the bodies of people who go mad and who go insane. These insane people then launch a persecution against the church, but they are judged by God, and the wrath of God comes against a world that is completely trapped in sin, in the love of money, and in the love of evil. And God's wrath will come, and there will be a great time of distress, such as the world has never seen. The only way you can escape that, this wicked time that's coming upon the earth, is to be someone that God will not judge. And God will not judge you if you are in Christ Jesus. God will not judge you if you have believed in Jesus Christ and you're born again and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You will escape judgment because God does not judge the righteous. And you are not going to be someone who comes under the final judgments of God in Revelation 16. God will rapture you. God will bless you. God will hide you in a secret place. For the judgments that God is bringing on this world are not for the righteous. And when God judged Jerusalem, an angel came and told the Christian community in Jerusalem to flee. And they fled just before the Roman armies came. They went off into the desert, just as it says here. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and those who are inside the city depart, and those who are out in the country not enter into it. So the judgment was coming against Jerusalem. The Christians in Israel, they went to a certain city off in the desert. They lived there, and they were safe. The Romans did not touch them. God prepared a place for his people, his Jewish Christians, in 70 AD, and they were untouched by the siege that came upon Jerusalem. They were taken out. They were taken away out to the desert, and I've forgotten the name of the place they went to. But they went out there, and they found shelter, and they found peace. And you will find shelter. You will find peace. You will be spared by God. You will not come into the judgment that this world is coming into. For you are made for redemption and not for judgment. So if you have not yet believed in God, do not hesitate. Do not hesitate about coming to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior right now during this radio broadcast. Make sure that you escape from being sentenced to hell. Make sure that you escape from the judgment and wrath of God that is coming upon this world. Repent of your sins. Turn to God. Say, sorry, Lord Jesus, I need to be saved. I need salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cry out to God. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, forgive my sins. Cleanse my heart. Make me into a Christian. Fill me with your Spirit and grant to me your salvation so that I am born again. And if you prayed that prayer, keep on crying out to God, read the Bible, pray, and go to a good church and keep listening to this program. God bless you all. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.